Welcome to Under All is the Land, the Acme podcast, talking about all things real in real estate. I'm Courtney Polis, and I'm here with my co-hosts and co-stars, Silke Fernald and Dominique Madden.
Under all is the land, real estate. Courtney and friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land, the real estate. Under all is the land, under all is the land, the real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Hello.
Hello. We have an exciting show today. In my opinion, there are a lot of hot topic things here, but as brokers, you know, we like get word on the street from our agents about what's giving them anxiety. And I have to say, on this one, I had an agent tell me that she has anxiety about this, and I realized I do too. So today's theme is social media and real estate. Does being great at Instagram make you a great real estate agent? So I'd love to hear your thoughts. What do you think?
That's a good question. And it also gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's... There's a lot happening on Instagram. A lot of agents are constantly pumping out content. They're constantly in front of the camera. And it almost makes me feel like, am I not doing enough? Am I too busy doing the actual job to be able to post things?
Yeah, that's mine too. And I get these emails from social media like entities like Boss Babe or whatever, and they're like, you need to be doing trending audio, and now here's the way that you use this filter to do this thing that's making people get so many views. And I'm like, I sell real estate. I sell it really, really well, but I am not technologically designed to like spend an hour trying to figure this stuff out online. And honestly, I do think it takes away from the actual job of the job.
Totally. It takes away from the job of the job. It takes away from my family, the little time I have left from not doing the job. I feel like I'd rather spend with my kids, who are already neglected in a way. And I mean that.
I think my kid would agree.
It's constantly, mom, shh, shh.
Yep.
You're on the phone.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. I'm making a reel.
You're getting the finger. Yeah, I wish I was making a reel. Like, I don't have time. And I feel like I always feel like I just don't feel like doing it either, because it's like everything's already said a million times. Mm-hmm. And when I hear the other agents talk about stuff, I find it most of the time slightly boring. I'm like, well, duh, that's what we all do. That's what everybody knows. Like, they're just pumping content because they think they have to do that. It's sort of like a group pressure situation.
Right. It's like, are we making these for each other? Yes.
I think that, yes. I definitely think that a lot of agents are making content for other agents and for persona and perception. And while it does lead generate, like, you know, I personally have been agent shamed by a realer.
Yeah. What does this mean?
I've been agent shamed. Yes. It's like, what are you doing? You used to be active on Instagram. Where have you been? You know? And I'm like,
I'm working.
Working?
You know? I'm doing the thing. So yeah, so I find it sometimes lame to hear the other agents talk about things that I feel like are so like, yeah, everybody knows this. Right. So you're just doing it to do it. But do you really give information that's valuable? Do you actually work as a real estate agent? Are you busy? Because I'm busy and I don't find the time to do these elaborate things. I don't know. Maybe I'm, you know, need to step it up.
I think that's a good point. Is like, you know, with the content you're creating, how applicable is it? How helpful is it? If it's helpful to buyers, maybe it's worth making, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think regardless, it can be worth making content, but, you know, definitely I would question like, who are you making it for?
Like, I see so many agents, successful agents, of course, but I'm like, what am I looking at right now? Like, I watched one very successful female agent, Beverly Hills, and it was like she was filming, like doing weighted squats on her story. And then the next one is like her at a fancy party. And the next one is like a different real estate agent, like getting out at a premiere of something. And, you know, they're always like head to toe and the most expensive clothes and their makeup is done and their hair is done. They're driving a Ferrari. And I'm like, okay, is this contributing to the idea that real estate agents are paid too much too? Because not all of us are trying to be Hollywood stars. Or we tried that already and we're over it, but just saying, you know, it's to me, there's so much earth in our job. We're actually in the ground. We're on the ground. We're cleaning bathtubs. We're picking out lights. We're walking through construction sites. We're on the phone. We're negotiating with agents. We're training our agents. We're writing offers. We're doing so much more than at the end of the day, the idea of even getting glammed up and driving my Ferrari to a party so somebody can take a video of me, it makes me kind of sick. So I don't know if that's the anxiety for me. I'm like, do people know I'm successful enough? Or am I not showing them that I'm so successful because I'm not competing in that realm with this like new real estate celebrity that somehow
we've created? I guess it depends if you want to feed into that world, right? It's like they, that person's audience, they want the flashy stuff. And we're not the flashy. That's not us. And no, that's not what normal
real estate agents
that's
are.
That's not what it is.
Right.
So I feel like by not feeding into that, we're elevating ourselves in a way.
Well, I feel like that too, if our messaging is getting through. Right. And that's the other thing. And I'm not just talking for us. I mean, what messaging is getting through? So do I think, oh, this agent might be better for my $5 million house because they go to movie premieres and, you know, are driving a Ferrari, when I know damn well that Acme beats most of our competition at marketing product for sure. And, you know, a lot of the people that we've chosen, you know, and selected and pumped out over the years have taken on much bigger careers in our realm, which is cool, great, amazing. But it always feels like, you know, I don't know, like maybe that multi-million dollar seller is looking for that
flashy thing.
I definitely think there's a new age of buyers and sellers who are looking at the flash, you know, who have probably been raised on social media and raised on shows like Selling Sunset and Million Dollar Listing. So the way that they negotiate and the way that they, you know, that they perceive agents, like this is what they're seeing as what an agent is. But it's glamorizing agency. You know, most of it isn't pretty. Most of it is fighting. Most of it is, you know, psychology and, yeah, you know, and being a therapist,
right,
and late night conversations and early morning conversations after your late
and
night conversation.
And sometimes even with each other, because we're like, oh my God, you know, we're on calls like 80 hours a week, 24/7, always dealing with people who are in a crisis or anxiety or whatever. And we want to be there for our clients. But it also takes a toll on us. It's not as easy. I was on Million Dollar Listing and I got to say, it was a real deal. You know, a house I really closed, it was real. And I very much enjoyed working with James Harris. Like, he was a great agent. So it was, the thing that's kind of fake about it is that it's filmed backwards or out of chronological order. But at least that was a real human being who I still like and would text if he had a listing and he'll respond to me quickly and he's cool and I like him, you know? So there is that, whatever. But I also don't think it's all floss with him. Like, they tried to create alternatives to the pocket listing situation, you know? So he's involved in like projects that actually help our industry. So I have respect for that guy. But there are a lot of, you know, shows that are featuring basically drama, docu-soap kind of thing that I'm just like, this is not who we are. So no wonder people are thinking that, you know, real estate agents get paid too much. And now we're on social media trying to explain our job to people when this used to be the thing people would come to us for. Like, how much of the milk should we give away?
Yeah, I think that's the problem too, is that, you know, people are trying to be, I don't know what they're trying to be. I guess maybe it's just for the purposes of content creation. But if you're putting all your sauce on the table to all the other 36,000 agents in LA, what makes you unique? You know? If you're telling them exactly what you do, who you use, how you curate, what makes you unique now? Now you've just given it all away, you know?
Yep. I mean, I feel semi-guilty of that. Honestly, I feel like in retrospect, I wish I would have been more protective of a lot of our resources. You know, I mean, there's only so much you can do. Yeah. I always say to flippers who get mad that other flippers use their same lighting fixtures, I say, listen, you're not inventing the cure for cancer. Don't take yourself so seriously. And once the cat's out of the bag, the cat's out of the bag. You know,
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
It is. And so, also, it's on, like, what works, you know?
People,
we do know
it.
What works.
People do it.
But, you know, I do also, like, sometimes understand why people want to keep things a little more secret. But that doesn't work on social media. If you're not out there giving it away, then you might not get enough likes and you might not be seen by a prospective lead. They might go to someone else. And at least Instagram is free, you know? So for new agents, it's like
great lead
generator.
It's a
great tool to utilize for sure. For free. Right. If they were charging what they're actually worth, I think people would definitely
don't give them enough.
I would be interested to know, like, you know, when it comes to leads that come out of real life scenarios or referrals versus Instagram, how different the experience is being the agent for that person. Like,
or being the client.
Or being the client.
If you pick your agent on social media, are you doing yourself a disservice? Like, just because this person's on social media getting tons of views, does it mean that they're better at negotiating than another agent who maybe is not so, I don't know, not so keen on being in front of the camera?
Those are all good questions. And I feel like a lot of the followers also aren't even real. So when you see accounts that have 125,000 followers, I always wonder, are these real followers?
There's a good tip. Check the engagement. If it doesn't align, ain't real. It's bot.
Oh my God. Did I tell you I was in Orlando at a bar shooting darts, which is what I like to do sometimes. I'm like shooting darts at a bar. And I was giving this kid who's a nice guy and kind of doesn't have luck with women. I was giving him some guidance on shoes. And I was like, I'll IG you, you know, I'll Instagram you. What's your Instagram? And I followed him on Instagram and he followed me. Literally a minute later, one of our competitors followed him. This sous chef from Orlando who I shoot darts with.
So
they have an auto thing where they're following our followers. And that's just like, come on, you know? It just lacks integrity to me.
Yeah, I refuse to go there, though. I refuse to go to that level.
No, definitely not.
You know, our business comes from referrals, from happy clients, and that is the way to go. I don't need to try to poach other people or steal other people or like other people's things and then get in the mix. I find it's all just,
yeah.
It
just doesn't feel good. It's icky and inauthentic. There's something about it that's not right.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a big bulk of the industry. And I think that with a lot of the agents who are coming into this industry thinking that this is what it is, that what you see on social media is what it is, or these tactics that you're seeing people employ from probably people that you are pursuing as a brokerage because you're seeing that social media following or whatever they're doing there, right? They're coming in and skewing the market. And skewing the kind of, like, I definitely have had different experiences in my escrows as of recent than previously. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting the same kind of agent on the other side who's working as well with me as previously.
Well, that also happens when our market is flooded with real estate agents who are not trained, which is why we train at Acme. It's the exact reason. I never want that comment coming out of somebody else's mouth about Acme, ever. Yeah. Okay, we have something special, a special treat. We have a special guest, our very own Alana Gospanetich. Did I say it right?
All right,
woo! Alana is on Instagram at Alana Goss. See, there I am, pumping up the Instagram, but she's actually talented, so we know her jam. It is so worth watching.
Especially if you like ASMR.
So Alana is going to give us an ASMR treat, the top 10 weird things Alana has seen in the field.
Thank you, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you for your time. Should we all be talking like this now? I just feel real estate doesn't have to be stressful, especially when the contract details are whispered to you. Anyway, here is 10 weird things I've seen touring with clients. Number 10, an agent in a giant sun hat greeted us and asked, when I asked what the highlights of the house were, she paused and said, there are rooms. Number 9, a painting of a lady in lingerie with her butt out above the master bedroom. Number 8, a list of things wrong with the house written by the seller on a whiteboard that finished with, should I email Phyllis about the wind damage and the propane leak? ? Number 7, a bug zapper in the kitchen. Number 6, mold in the house that we could smell from three doors down. Da, 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 da. Number five, that time I drove an hour with my client to OI, only to have, when we got there, the listing agent inform us that it was in fact a mobile home. Undisclosed. Da, 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 da. Number four, a painting of a young boy exploding out of a man's back. Why not? Number three, a penis door handle with balls for the knocker. Number two, squirrel skins nailed to different portions of the whole house. Terrifying. And number one, weird thing I've seen in a house in Los Angeles, an oil derrick on the property, undisclosed and not photographed. Pumping oil. The best part, no mineral rights. Up, 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 up.
Oh my God, amazing. Wow, so those are all seriously true.
Those are all true. I've seen most of them with one client, because Kate, God bless you, we've been looking. We've seen some weird ones. She's very open to the weird ones, and we've seen them, and holy crap. And a lot of them were from the one place. It was a place in Ojai. We got there. The woman was like, hi, how are you? Welcome. So you've seen the oil derrick, and we were like, what? There's an oil derrick out the front of this house. You just see this, like the thing pumping.
That thing. Yeah.
Pumping oil. And she's like, so you should know, right? And I was like, you didn't tell us this. And she's like, oh, I thought I put it in the MLS. Anyway, just so you know, there's no mineral rights. So if it pumps any oil, you don't get any money from it. And then she was like, oh, and by the way, the seller tore the kitchen out. I didn't even put that in there. The seller had torn the kitchen out from the photos. And then it was a mobile home. And then the seller had written a list of what was wrong. And it was like rats. There was a wind damage that Phyllis needed to hear about.
Yeah. And a propane link. Are you safe?
Are you safe?
Should we be having this open house right now?
So we were like, well, we drove to Ojai for a total waste of time.
Presuming then that your client didn't write on any of these houses.
No, we did not write on any of these houses.
No.
Really? The penis door knocker?
The penis door knocker didn't do it for her. Strangely.
Skin nailed to the wall.
My client actually loved that house, but it went for too high. But she was not bothered, but that was a different client.
Note to self, stage with squirrel skins. Yes.
She was like, witches lived here.
Ooh. Wow. I do remember one time I was in Austin. Random, totally random. Okay, I'll just briefly tell this story, okay? So I was dating a guy that I didn't really end up liking that much, it turned out, and I wanted to go out to a party. He was like, drive to my house. I was like, no, I'm not gonna drive into your house. And on that night, I went to a party, and there were these people from Oregon in a bus they called the Wookiefoot bus. And this girl was like, hey, do you wanna go across country on the Wookiefoot bus? So I was like, okay, I've got like $70 and like a money order made payable to PG&E or whatever, but I'm sure I can cash that somewhere. So yeah, I'll go, whatever. I had a very small bag and I just hopped on this bus and we ended up breaking down in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And it was like a whole cross country, crazy ride, but, oh, it was crazy. But we stopped in Austin and, we were in a mobile home. We were supposed to stay in a mobile home park that had baby doll body parts hanging from the trees. And when we walked into the house that we were supposed to be staying at, which we ended up not staying at, thank God, because I was like, I can't. It had a toilet and the tub in the middle of the room. No walls. No walls.
They didn't want to move the plumbing.
I mean. Yeah. Exactly. So any guest that comes over has to like go to the bathroom in front of everybody?
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Everybody's staring at her.
This, and the worst part is the girl who was the host was this like tall, gangly girl who had a mullet and like a rat tail, and they called her Creature. And she was like, it was so weird. Yeah, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. I felt like I was in some kind of David Lynch film or something. I don't know what was going on there. But anyway, thank you so much for blessing us, Alana. Thank you. So amazing.
That is incredible.
Will you come back again?
Yes, I'll twinkle anytime.
I'd love to know what this week holds for you.
No, stick with her. All the cool shit's happening.
Tour with her. I know, we do.
So I wanted to talk about some really on-topic news that just happened. So this happened on April 28th is when all the news stories came out. So I'm not sure exactly which day it was. But basically, there are some complainants in Missouri and Illinois alleging that home sellers have been damaged because their listing broker compensates the buyer's representative. Now, buyer agency was created because previously it was presumed everybody worked for the seller because the seller paid the commission. So buyers would think they had an agent, but in fact, that agent was legally supposed to represent the seller. So it was a conflict of interest. So our industry creatively invented buyer agency, which makes total sense. And because in the past, all agents were paid by the seller anyway, nobody, I don't think, even thought twice about the idea that the agent who's working hard to sell that house, you know, not get their commission, you know? So it was usually split 50-50, but of course, commissions are negotiable. And so whatever your industry standard is in the area where you are is what would prevail. But that's just the way our industry does it. And in fact, if the sellers wanted to do it a different way, there are plenty of places in the contract where they could change the way that commission is distributed. In conflict, unfortunately, with our previous code of ethics, it literally says in there, listing agents aren't even required to share their commission. It says it in the code of ethics. But now there are all these other, we have MLS rules and we have, you know, tribal rules, right? So these lawsuits claim that various NAR rules and members' adherence to those rules have led to artificially fixed and inflated commissions being paid to real estate agents. So there's a judge in Missouri who granted the complainants the ability to go class action. So nothing's been determined yet except that they're opening it up to other people to potentially complain about this. They want to take it all the way back. They want to take it back to 2014, I believe. Just want to check one time here, make sure. Well, I'll confirm that in the comments, in the notes. But they want to take it all the way back and basically make buyer's agents repay sellers for what the sellers are calling an inflated cost of sale. Now, this rubs me so many different kinds of wrong. One is it does not acknowledge what buyer's agents actually do. Like the sellers are presuming they would have gotten that sales price if there weren't buyer's agents working hard, especially in multiple offer situations, to have their clients win and encourage their clients to push outside their comfort zone to win. I'm sorry. Every time I've ever seen a for sale by owner, it doesn't go well. So it's like, you know, one-sided representation doesn't work for the buyer either. Buyer agency is a thing because there are so many lawsuits coming out of people feeling a lack of representation. But the most annoying thing about it to me is that it's going to completely penalize people who are scratching together money just to get into the real estate market, who are my favorite people, the people who've decided I'm going to change my life, I'm going to take ownership of my life, I'm going to buy this house, single moms or people who don't have rich parents, right? They're not going to be able to come out of pocket to pay buyer agents. And if this means that this leaves buyers thinking that they should go directly to the listing agent who already has a fiduciary responsibility with the seller, it completely undoes buyer agency. Exactly. And punishes people who are not wealthy. I'm so frustrated by this entire notion. It just reminds me of like bratty, whiny people who always feel like they left money on the table. And some judge is deciding that they should have their way with it. And I just feel like it's so wrong. Thank God NAR is fighting it, but it's like,
it is wrong, yeah, like you said, because I don't think these sellers would have ever gotten the price they got for the house if there weren't buyer agents working with their buyers and coaching them and explaining the market to them. And it's wrong on so many levels.
On so many levels.
I mean, I think, you know, there's a common misconception that in real estate, you show a house, you get it under contract, and it's sold. You know, that's it. But there's an entire process between listed and sold that involves jumping so many hurdles.
So many.
So many hurdles.
But we don't put that on Instagram, right?
But we don't put that on Instagram. Exactly. And we don't want to compromise our clients'
confidentiality.
You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so people do, one, have a really warped perception of what we actually do. But two, they don't understand that without the help of the agents from both sides, making it work, a lot of these transactions would fall through. Some of them wouldn't even happen. Yep. You know,
I totally agree.
You know, a buyer agent can be the one who helps a buyer jump a hurdle before they even write the offer. You know, oh, you have those horrible floors. Guess what? As a buyer agent, I know, you know, I have people who have replaced floors. I can get you a rough estimate from someone, right? Yeah. Guess what? Once you replace those floors, now you've already built a little bit of equity because that's going to hold some people back.
Yeah. It's perspective. Yeah. It's perspective what we bring to the table. We give buyers perspective on things. Sometimes they get wrapped in their head like, oh, and you're like, you say something, you're like, oh, I get that. Yeah, makes sense.
Let's exactly. I always say about the buying process, there's a psychology to buying and selling, but with the buying side, it's like you decide you're going to do this. You have a little money. You get so excited. You call your lender. They qualify you for more money than you ever thought you could be qualified for, right? And then you're excited. But then you look at what's on the market, and it's not good enough. And that happens at any price point, whether it's $2 million buyer, $1.2 million buyer, $4 million, doesn't matter. It never looks like it's good enough. So you're coming through listings, you're showing things, you're da-da-da-da-da, and finally there's a one, there's an opportunity, we can get it, and we get it. And all of a sudden, that psychology kicks in where they're like, wait, am I the idiot that paid the most out of 10 buyers for this house? And that's when you do your home inspections. And that's when people can walk away. And that's when buyer's agents earn their commission. When they help buyers through the psychology of making big decisions. And that's like a marriage counselor. That is like a big job, you know? And it comes with experience. And we just can't show that on Instagram. But man, I you know, it befuddles me that so many people without experience think they can do our job.
I swear. You know, it's so frequent that people, you know, I mean, you know, buyers, sellers, other agents, like, who don't have the experience, come into this and think that they know the solutions when they've never seen the solution, or they don't even understand the problem, right? You know, to jump the solution. Like, part of our value is the experience that we've had with hundreds of transactions,
right?
And seeing different hurdles jumped. And even now, I see new things come up all the time, you know, but because of my experience with other things, I'm able to figure out a way, a workaround, you know, or a way to solve that thing, whether it's, you know, getting creative with a lender or getting creative with an estimate or whatever, you know.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where our value is. So unless you have someone who's lobbying for the transaction to go through, but also lobbying for the buyer's protection, it's a dangerous scenario.
Yeah, to me, this is just opening a can of worms, because dual agency, by the way, is not legal in all 50 states. So I know this case is specifically for Missouri, but if anybody thinks that this could be a nationwide cure for some spoiled seller's idea that they got charged too much for the sale of their house, then I think we're going to lose the whole entire buyer agency experience. There are going to be a lot of unhappy buyers, a lot of lawsuits, and it's discriminatory.
Agree. I mean, you know, I had a client previously, so I believe in dual agency when you're working with ethical agents,
sure.
You know?
Yep.
But I've had clients in the past who have worked with agents who maybe are not so forthcoming, right? And, you know, like they go to the listing agent. The listing agent has the fiduciary duty, you know, to the seller. So certain things they're not highlighting to this buyer who's now also their buyer, right?
They also might only be doing two deals a year, so they're like, oh, I'm double-ending
this one. We need this to close, you know? I mean,
lots of good big agents say, like, I will not even write the buy side. No, do not come to me.
I had a client who wrote with a listing agent. It was a developer. And, you know, because he relied on my review, like, I reviewed everything so much for him. I reviewed everything, all the disclosures, all the NHT reports, you know, as much as I could find, I'd review and help him understand. This agent didn't have that same, I mean, it didn't feel that same fiduciary duty to him. So when it came to the NHG report, it turned out that it was on a fault. It was on an earthquake fault directly on it. He was going to develop the property. So what that did was it made it $500,000 more expensive for him to do the thing he wanted to do, which then made it not make sense, right? But at that point,
too late.
He was non-contingent. And guess what? He had to close or lose his deposit.
Wow.
And so guess what he did? He ended up closing. He took a different route, you know, and ended up, you know, just renovating and flipping it. But that was a big learning lesson for him, because he had been so used to me and what I do, That he thought every agent's going to do that. No, not everybody's going to do that for you.
Thank
and
you.
And it goes back to training agents. It goes back to that.
Yeah.
And I think even a step further, I think it's too easy to get a real estate license.
Yeah, it's that's too true. Easy. We should talk on the next show about barriers to entry in this profession, yes. Because you're so right. I mean, really, even when we interview agents, we make people do a test, you know, so that we can see what their deductive reasoning skills are, their ability to be coached, and like how much they understand fundamental real estate concepts. And it's surprising to me the amount of people that get their real estate license that really don't know common terms, but we can talk about that later. Thank you. I feel like we said it. I mean, that's the case that needs to be made. So people need to reach out to their like NAR people, support the fund, like do whatever we got to do to fight this nonsense, even messaging wise, to fight this idea, because I think that it could be disastrous for consumers, and they might not realize that. But they will when they go to buy a house and there's nobody to help them. So these sellers are going to have to go somewhere to buy a house. And if they think because they sold one house that they know how to do our job, that they're sorely mistaken.
Agree. And just to add to that, you know, to buyers who are looking in the market and think that their agents are being overpaid, mm-hmm. or, you know, who think that, you know, they don't like for some reason they would do this job for free. This is a job that goes with so many unpaid hours of hard work, from offer writing to showing. You might show hundreds of houses over the course of 2 years unpaid. So when it comes time for you to get the property and you get that commission, that's your payment for manpower. Hours. Yes, yeah, much yes. manpower unpaid.
Yep.
So, you know, everybody should also keep that in perspective whenever they're challenging their agent's commission.
Yep, I totally agree. Well said. I'm going to turn the tables for a second, and I want to, Silke has a best kept secret. I want to share that with our audience.
Oh, lighting fixture.
Oh, yes.
So Etsy, in my opinion, is the best kept secret for cool lighting fixtures.
And not Wayfair, all modern?
Nope. We've ordered beautiful light fixtures that came from Israel. A client of mine just ordered something that came from Greece, and all from Etsy, and people are loving them. And they're no-name people, but they make them at home. They create beautiful pieces. They look unique. You cannot steal them. So you couldn't get that idea and put it in another flip because, well, we wouldn't know where it came from. Anyway, no, but Etsy is the best kept secret for lights, in my opinion.
Oh, right. Etsy. So we're going to put a couple of suggested stores in our show notes below. And finally, I want to just wrap it up by going back to our theme, social media and real estate. Does being great at Instagram mean you're a great real estate agent? Yes or no?
No, for sure not. You know, I mean, I think if you're really in the depths of this job and you don't have a full support team under you, which kudos to those who do, that's awesome. And I love to see it, you know. But I think if you don't have that, then it's really hard to sustain being super consistent on social media while you're also doing this daily job, which requires your constant attention, mm-hmm. you know? So I would say it doesn't necessarily mean if someone's producing a lot of material that they're not a good agent, but I would look for more than just their social media platform. I would ask the questions that need to be asked. You know, and actually interview your agent versus just qualifying them based on their follower count.
Nice. Silke?
No. What she said.
All right. I agree. I'm going to go with no and what she said. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on Under All is the Land. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, here with Silke Frenald and Dominique Madden, my rock star co-host. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Yeah. Follow me, yeah. That under all is the land, the real estate. Courtney and friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land, under all is the land. The real estate. Under all is the land, under all is the land. The real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate.